Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, yeah, buddy. It's Monday. It's the 3rd of June. And ladies and gentlemen, this monologue is going to be short. Happy man today, I am. I look across the glass and a familiar face is there. Brad Carson on the ones and twos, executive producer extraordinaire, and the boss around here. But across the plastic from me, on the other side of the table, he's back, ladies and gentlemen. John Martin is here.
Yeah, and I'm probably the most excited man in the building.
Welcome
back, John Martin. It's good to have you.
Yeah, man, appreciate the gas. Good to be back. It was definitely a very, very appreciated time. I appreciate, first and foremost, you two holding it down and, doing the show. I know it's definitely different when I'm not here or when there's just, one host. I understand that. So I appreciate it. Your hard work is definitely not taken for granted.
Thank you.
So I do want to let you know that first and foremost.
Brad, we were co-hosted.
Yes, exactly right. Both of you, for sure. So he was doing rundown items. If he was doing rundown items, he was a co-host. It's
the
true.
The whole month, weren't you, Brad?
Okay. So if you were indeed taking rundown items.
He was doing rundown. He was on the Caitlin Clark beat. We had him on the Caitlin Clark beat.
One of the keys to the show when you're gone is just doing what Jason would like to do.
That's right.
And so I asked him, I would say, you want this one? He'd go, do that one.
Yep, love
and
it. Hey.
Do that one.
Well, we'll get with the Caitlin Clark beat writer here in just a little while.
Well, he can ease up now.
It was quite the weekend in that realm, so we'll touch on that. But yeah,
good to have you back, John. We missed you.
Yeah, it was fun. I checked in when I could. Obviously, I wasn't in the car a ton. You know, this was more of a paternity leave born out of necessity. You know, the first one was definitely, hey, get to know your kid a little bit. This one was Sam was going back to work, and there were two kids at the house because Riley was getting out of school, so I had to be there. So this was definitely more, as I did tell you over the phone on text, this was not a pleasure cruise by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But nonetheless, it was definitely appreciated, and it was a good time, and got to know my boy a little bit, my son a little bit, and spent some time with him and see him grow and learn about him. So, he's definitely the GOAT, the best, chillest baby I've ever had. I've had two.
Well, you need that.
He's the chillest one, no question about it. We'll see if it lasts, but, definitely. It was a good time, and it's good to be back. We had a lot to touch on today, no doubt about that. I want you to kind of just do this. I want you to kind of kick back, relax,
man,
and enjoy the show.
Sit back
and
wait. I haven't in a while.
Yeah, I mean, this is
just listening to your sweet voice, which, oh, by the way, sounds a little deeper. It sounds like it's changed a little bit.
Oh,
you just have it back.
Oh, let me just say this off the top. I'm coming different. Post-paternity leave. I'm coming different.
You sound, you wearing the same old stuff.
Yeah.
but you do sound different.
Oh, I'm coming different.
You sound recharged.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Let's see.
But no, I'm coming different for y'all in 2024 post-paternity leave. Yep. I'm a new me. I'm a new man.
All right.
And some of y'all going to find out, okay? Some of y'all going to learn for sure. But we do have a lot to touch on today.
Excellent.
On the show. Jason Fitz is going to join us, 125. Talk to him. Yeah, we'll talk about Caitlin Clark and the national media and the discussion and the discourse around her at 125. We'll do Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock.
I got it.
Damn, man. I mean, I've had so many
respect.
Comings and goings in the month that I've been gone.
I know.
Learned that Drake is a pedophile. We learned that Mark Giannato is leaving. He's gone. When I left 92.9 in April, Mark was still hosting Giannato and Jeffrey. I come back. It's not called that anymore. It's now Jeffrey and Company.
That's right.
So who is Company? Did we hire someone named Company? Or is there, like, I'm trying to figure out. I'm still in the process of learning all these things.
It's a group.
Slim Shady has returned. So that happened
not
while
really.
I was gone. So I know that's definitely.
David Jones is gone.
David Jones was 70-30. Now he's 0-100. He is absolutely all the way out. Did he get a guaranteed, some kind of promise, something? What changed? Penny Hardaway had a press conference at the golf course earlier today. Was he just playing around and people ambushed him?
No. That's the AutoZone.
Got it.
Yeah, golf course.
Okay, yeah, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
So we will, and I will say this about that particular press conference, or whatever you want to call it, that interaction, that exchange. It was quite telling and quite revealing, if you ask me, even if Penny Hardaway said practically nothing. So we will get into that here on the show today. That is the show today. I think that's how we used to do it. We used to set it up just like that.
Yeah.
And then we would go into the topic of the day.
You hadn't missed a beat.
Hey, Brad, still doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we last checked out hitting about 58-59.
Plenty of losers to go around.
58-59 is very good.
Going to try to get above 60 for these finals.
Yeah.
Finish it off.
Listen, I do think Brad is, you know, I will say it's going to challenge you because there are two themes that he stuck to throughout the entire postseason. It's been betting the Celtics and it's been betting Luka.
Definitely betting the Mavs.
Here's the thing. He's not going to be able to do both. In this series.
Well, that's very true.
He's going to have to pick one of them.
I think we know which way he's leaning.
My guess is Mavs. I don't want influence, but that would be my guess.
Big lines, John. Big lines.
Big lines. Big numbers, baby.
Like I know what the hell I'm doing.
Hey.
But
I
you
like
did.
It.
You did, even in John's absence. You were consistently
And I will say this. I too was on. The first thing I did when I got to Chicago on Thursday was I downloaded some sports books because I needed to make sure I had my betting apps, you know? And I bet the Mavs. I didn't know you were on them. I assumed you would be. But, I mean,
you're consistent with that.
Luka, Teflon, you're right, when it comes to your picks.
Crazy, man.
He does that, right? He did that to Phoenix in the Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
These closeouts on the road, you think he kills them, you know?
Masterful.
So we'll get into the finals. We'll talk about that.
There's so much to touch on.
Yeah, there is. But when we have 3 days to do it, so we'll do this by position group. So we'll go guards,
like
forwards tomorrow, and then we'll have centers. You know, on Wednesday. Yeah. And then Thursday, we'll have the preview of the entire game.
Right.
So, yes. Anyway, that's the show today. Good to be back, as always. But earlier this morning, Penny Hardaway was out at the AutoZone Liberty Bowl golf charity event. And he has not really had a formal, media gathering since the season ended, right? He had the AAC tournament post-game press conference.
And a Tigers on tour stop a couple of weeks ago out in Collierville. Didn't do this past week, but did out there and where Parth and others wrote off of it.
And look, that's the
but
way.
But nothing really formal.
Yeah, that's the way it is under Penny. You know, he doesn't really do the formal. He never has.
Especially in the offseason.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like a I feel like, you know, he used to do it a lot more when, you know, like the high school recruiting classes, you know, were announced and he, you know, but it's just it's not like that, you know. It's just that's not the way he does it. So people did have a chance. The media conglomerate here in Memphis did have a chance to catch up with him at the golf course earlier today. And we'll just play the entire clip. It's not long. We'll just play the whole thing. This is Penny Hardaway earlier today.
I know at the end of last season, you just talked about having a lot going on in your personal life with your mother and everything else, and then having to, you know, do things this offseason to rebuild the roster. How's all that been for you, just navigating all that, managing all of that?
It's been okay. My mom, her health is still, you know, in jeopardy, but doing better. And building the roster is what I'm supposed to do as a coach. I'm trying to do the best I can in a portal. that's basically what we've tried to do for the last couple of years.
I guess it's been, 2.5 months since the season ended. So, how have you been?
I don't even have any comment about that, bro. I'm just going to keep my head to the ground and just keep grinding. That's it. That's all I have for everybody in town.
I know there's certain things that, you know, Harold said you don't want to talk about. Is how the guys have come together, right? As a unit, as a team, is that something you can speak on and share?
Not really, because we haven't really gotten together. So we just built the roster and ready to roll.
How do you feel about the roster, what you've got so far?
The roster's good. We've got a good group of young men that are ready to come in and play together and be one unit.
How nice is it to have those guys here, like in the 1st of June as opposed to at the end of the summer?
Yeah, having the entire team here for the first time in 7 years has been pretty good. I don't think a lot of people understand not getting your team until September every year is putting you behind the eight ball in a lot of ways. But obviously, I get no room for error, so I make no excuses about anything, but happy to have a whole team here this summer.
Coach, I know Harold said you don't want to answer the basketball questions, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask. Just David Jones staying in the NBA.
Comment on David.
When the offseason first started, you had mentioned like a small checklist of things you wanted to accomplish, right? Like whether it be getting guys here before June 1st or getting the right guys for your culture, your program. It seems like so far, like, you can check all those boxes. You've done that.
Yeah, well, the team is here. I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
I'm just saying, do you feel like, you know, you've accomplished those things? Like, have you, you've
with the team
so
being here,
offseason?
With the team being here, we've accomplished the biggest thing, and that's getting everybody here to be able to work with them.
All right, so that was interesting. I also learned that we have an Australian media member, not just in that video. I learned that we have
the takeaway for John.
That was I learned that earlier.
Is she local Memphis?
That was also what I learned in my paternity leave. That we have an Australian.
She sounds amazing.
She sounds Australian. So
you guys act like you'd never heard an Australian before.
I don't think we've ever had an Australian Memphis media member. I think that's a first.
Is she local?
Yeah, but I mean, Stephen Adams was from New Zealand.
Who was? Yeah, but and we loved him.
Well, I'm just saying.
We love him.
It's different.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like you've never heard this.
Oh, no, I know. It's like asking Penny a question. No, I'm saying, like,
but I get it. From the media side.
I think the Australian accent is just, I mean, whatever. I think it's amazing.
Where does she work?
I think she's at 2430.
Yeah.
Pretty sure she's
writing that down.
Yeah, so I learned, that was one of the big things I learned in paternity leave. I'm just sort of going down the list, right? So much. It was like an ayahuasca trip in many ways. But look. She actually said something. I don't know if you guys caught it, but she said a disclaimer before her question was, I know you don't want to answer any basketball questions. I know you said you don't want to answer any basketball questions. So it sounds as though the media in attendance here was informed prior to the interview.
Yeah, Parth wrote about that. So okay. Media liaison at the event told reporters that he didn't want to answer any basketball questions.
Okay, so
that's important.
So the Memphis basketball coach didn't want to talk about basketball, which maybe...
I think that's a good starting point.
Maybe somebody was supposed to ask him about the Memphis Showboats getting the first win and the first pick of the draft next year. I mean, what do you think about that, coach?
We did that with a win.
Yeah. No, apparently that was a...
Again, another takeaway.
Is that what... Does you have to win the last game?
Weirdly. Okay. So you didn't try to tank it. It's very exciting.
What?
So you were playing. My understanding is that we secured the number one pick with the win. By making Houston last in the league. Again, side note, sidebar that. We'll revisit later.
Well, thank God.
Huge win for DeFilippo.
Yeah, I tell you what, I was locked into that. As were 76 other people that were in attendance.
But no, we were not going to ask Penny about that second win for the show.
Okay, maybe we would have asked him about Caitlin Clark. I mean, maybe we would have gotten his thoughts on that. Maybe we would have. I mean, what were the media supposed to talk to him about if he was going to do the interview, right? So then that's absurd. But I also think it informs the rest of the answers, right? Which when I hear this interview far and away, this is almost how Penny sounds after a dejecting loss. This is almost how he sounds after, you know, in that 5-game losing streak that he had earlier this year where he doesn't have the answers. And we can get into why maybe, because I do think there are some fair explanations as to why he may feel a certain type of way right now. But what I hear is a coach who is, at this point, sounding defeated, who is sounding frustrated, who is sounding just a complete contrast from, you know, the coach that we knew, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And again, we've got 4 or 5 years of results since that version of Penny, which also goes into it. But I didn't come away from that. And again, it's just 1 2-minute thing. Yeah. So I don't want to make it too much. But I didn't come away feeling like, oh, this is a coach who was absolutely thrilled and excited about what he's got, even though it's not complete. But he just didn't sound super optimistic about his group yet.
Where I agree with you is that Penny's got to know that these questions are coming. Number one is because you're rarely available in the off season, and we've interviewed you. When I say we, Memphis media has interviewed you out at these golf tournaments before, and it's been turned to basketball questions. And so there's a couple of things going on, though, that I do think maybe add to the context here. Even though you'd asked not to get basketball questions, you and I say you should expect them. But you've asked, and so there's that part of it. There's also what he's going through with Mom,
yep,
and her health situation, which he talked about at the end of the season. You know, he said she's improved, which is good news. But we know that, you know, since the end of the season, he's been dealing with that. He talked, you know, Elliot Perry talked about that in terms of Elliot just losing his mom. Those two have been sort of, talking about, you know, their situations with their mom. So he's got some things going on. But we know, too, like I go back to, you're out there, you know the media is going to be there, you just lost David Jones. And so the expectation for the Memphis basketball coach, even one who's, you know, got some things going on, in this case that are outside of basketball, the expectation is for him to be asked these questions and for a response. Penny was out a couple of weeks ago, like we said, on the Tigers on tour stop. He didn't do the second one, which was last week, but he did the first one, and that's where we learned that all the players out of the transfer portal had signed up. It was the first time he could talk about them. And so my point was, there was an off-season opportunity there, in this case scheduled by Memphis Athletics, but you expected this. And Penny Hardaway has to expect this anytime Jason Munns and Parth and those guys are out there, that you're going to get basketball questions. And so while I'm with you that the tone was striking, he's got to expect these questions to come, especially after you just lost David Jones.
Yeah.
So it's hard to
feel
frustrated,
you know,
for him. I heard Jeff this morning say, listen, if you're asked not to ask basketball, well, those folks have gotten in the car and come out there. It's their jobs. And again, it's Penny's job to have those answers.
Well,
that's just part of the media deal. Yeah. And in this case, it's not
independent media.
Right.
But
it's not the Tigers on tour stop, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what you're going to be asked. And for the most part, let's be real, the Memphis media gives him his privacy, sort of what he wants in the off season. Let him go do his thing. And he's not called upon in the way that previous Memphis coaches have been. And so, while I can understand there being some frustration, I don't think you should necessarily take it out on Memphis media or anybody else. You could hear some in there when he said, I got no room for error.
No question.
You know, how he's judged.
No doubt.
We're getting a Penny that clearly feels judged here. Again, how much of that is coming off of the David Jones? And he's heard 70-30 back in his face ever since he lost him, so he's feeling a certain kind of way about that, right? Thrown back in his face, you know, by Memphis media, fans, whoever. But in the end, it doesn't matter how you're feeling, man. You're the Memphis basketball coach, and that hasn't changed going into year 7.
Right.
Folks still want answers, just like they wanted answers when they hired you as the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't I will say that the one thing that I think is getting tired with Penny is the I'm doing you guys all a favor, and you should worship the ground I walk on no matter what the results are. That's old, bro. That's stale. Okay? Like, we get it. If you don't want to do the job, you know what to do. It's just that simple. If you no longer want to do the job, you can step aside and let somebody else have a crack at it. But if you're going to do the job, like, this is what comes with it. You know, you have to get players. You have to win tournament games. You have to get to the tournament. This is the way it works. It's the way it's always worked. It's the way it worked for Tubby Smith when he got fired up for 2 years. It's the way it worked for Josh Pastor when he was running out of here after 7 years. By the way, better results than he's got to this point in his career. This is the job. Production is the expectation. I don't think Penny is getting unfairly judged. I don't think he's got no room for error.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we don't go through a year where this is what it's going to be, right? Where it's going to be like, I can't do anything because I'm just going to be, you know, every coach in America has to grapple with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not doing the job for free. You know, you have resources. Like, that, it's just that simple. So that's the part of it that I have really next to no patience for.
I would just hesitate that, you know, that he's not super sunshiny, you know, to call it done, call it defeated, call this sounds like a guy who's done. You have to stop short of that again because of the context
here. No question. Agreed.
But he has to expect this. Yes. He has to expect it when he's out. He's been to golf tournaments before, whether it's the FedEx, and he's out there doing the charity thing, doing the celebrity pro-am.
Yeah.
He knows he's going to be asked. That hasn't changed, and it doesn't change just because you lost David Jones.
Exactly.
Right? Or you're coming off of a season that you felt like you're unfairly criticized. The fact is, I'm with you. You weren't. You know, in the end, and he talked about this the first time in the 7 years that he's gotten his players here. In the end, that's back on you.
Absolutely.
In the end, that's who you've recruited. It's how you've recruited. Unfortunately, in some cases, it's been you missed on some guys and you've had to wait. But that goes back to the coach. That situation is set up by
you. No doubt.
It's not, you can't blame that on others.
And
so the defensiveness was striking.
It was. And I would say.
But like, I would stop short of saying this is a done. He'll be judged on what it looks like.
June press conference.
Exactly.
But I think it could be, we could look back and we could say, this is when you knew. This is when you got. But again, games.
Yeah, he sounds like he's tired of the stuff today.
No doubt. And look, he was clearly, he's clearly raw. In feeling some type of way about how David Jones.
Well, it was really the answer to Munz's question about. But that separate from David. I didn't mean to. You got a David Jones point.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's probably the biggest part of why he is.
No comment on that.
Didn't even not let even, her finish
not,
the question.
Not even a hope he does well.
Exactly.
That was striking.
Yeah.
I thought the answer to Munz about how you've been doing last 2.5 months is like, man, I got nothing. Essentially, we can go back and listen to that answer. I thought it was striking. It's like,
I'm just trying to put my head down and grind for y'all.
Yeah. You know, that's all I got for everybody in town is sort of, all I have.
Yep.
On me.
That was,
and how I'm doing. That was a penny that clearly,
exactly,
you know, was feeling a certain kind of way, some frustration there.
Absolutely. And I think, again, some of it is understandable because he was led down a path. He built a team around David Jones who, again, apparently made him believe the whole entire way that he was coming back.
Right.
And look, I, I'm going to call it like it is. Unless David Jones has a guarantee, what he did was dumb as hell, okay? Unless he's got a promise or a guarantee of some kind of whether he's going to get drafted or two-way, what he did was just from any logical standpoint. And you guys on social media, I've heard it, I read it. You know, you live in this fantastical, idyllic world where, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. Bro, he turned down high six figures, okay, at Memphis to go chase this dream that would have, by the way, been waiting for him in a year. It would have all been
the same way, right? You're not getting drafted. It's not.
Exactly. You are what you are as an NBA prospect. If you're not going to get drafted in this draft, you ain't getting drafted in next year's draft. So at least make your money from the opportunity cost standpoint. Take the biggest bag you can get, and then you can deal with that later, right? So, this is all unless. But so that's the first thing. So I understand from Penny's perspective why he is feeling some type of way.
By that. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm not saying he shouldn't, you know. But I would also just have in that moment I would have just kept it real. I would have just been honest. I would have just said, David Jones was telling us something the whole entire way, and at the last minute he changed his mind. I would have just put it out there because this is a business now. Right? This ain't like, you can't say that because of future recruits. No, you're dropping bags. So now it's just, we're just talking about business, you know?
Well, it's interesting that he was so open about that on the Point Forward podcast with Iguodala. And he was talking about NIL when asked about, man, how's this going for you? And he talked about how in the late runs, it's frustrating, you know, as you get closer to the end and the numbers start going. But my point, the openness there when he was talking. Well, right, exactly. Now, again, I'm pretty sure he did that before David Jones decides he's not coming back. But my point is there's an openness there when he's talking to those NBA peers and colleagues. He'll talk about the business of it as opposed to here.
Right.
And maybe part of him is, I don't want to throw David Jones under the bus afterwards and all that. But I'm with you on, you can speak to that.
Yeah.
Right? Say you're disappointed and everything else. And we'd all understand.
And the fans,
we'd actually would understand the frustration probably. feel your point more, your
Absolutely.
Frustration more if you do that. You can talk about that in a way where you're not throwing the kid under the bus. You disagree with the decision, but I think, you know, frankly, it's you owe your fans that.
No doubt, as opposed to the sort of passive aggressiveness that, you know, I don't really know at this point what you're trying to preserve. You know, you don't have David Jones. You're never going to have David Jones again. And it's not like, oh, I don't want to go play for Penny. He'll throw me under the bus, because this is you're now a professional basketball player, right? I mean, that's when you play at the high major division one level, you get bags, and it's all out there, and it's a lot of money. And so we don't have to play this little charade of, oh, well, you got to kind of be careful. No, if you're dropping big bags, you can take whatever the hell you want. Right? And if a player is serious about his money, he's going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not, he won't. I mean, it's just that simple. So, again, I'm not saying you got to kill the kid's character, but I think at least to your fans, because, again, clearly you can visibly see it's bothering him, say, we anticipated David coming back. We were led to believe it until the 11th hour.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm frustrated. So, yeah, because now I got to go scramble. I've got maybe three players that I can get at this stage. And it's true, right? I mean, he's got Brazil, he's got Kaluma, Jameer Watkins just put out his list, and Memphis isn't on it. You know,
I just think that when you do it that way, it just sort of crystallizes where your frustration is,
100%.
As opposed to mad at fans that maybe have misjudged, you know, have unfairly in his eyes unfairly judged and everything else. And we got a little taste of that again, or you know, we understand where the frustration, not so much at reporters that are asking these questions, right? It's then we understand that it comes out of David Jones. And it actually, again, I think it strengthens sort of your position there, as opposed to leading out the speculation, why is Penny so frustrated? Why is he wanting out the question? Is it really about David Jones? Again, I think there's a way you can handle that in the way where he doesn't throw the young man under the bus, like, you know, like he tended to, has a tendency, doesn't do that anyway.
Right.
You know, there was a way to answer that.
Yeah, so I just thought it was you know, again, none of it's going to matter if they go to the NCAA tournament, win a couple of games, make a Sweet 16 run. You know, it's a striking contrast to what we are accustomed to from Penny, and that's why it sticks out the way it does, and I think he knows that, right?
Well, maybe the frustration is that Penny understands that in his eye, that hope of going to that second weekend, you know, getting into a Sweet 16, which I'm sure is
right.
The way he sees is the way to get back to true excitement around here. Maybe you feel like it, you know, huge blow.
Yeah,
losing David Jones, there's frustration.
Because you built the team around
that. You can say that. I'm in agreement with John there. There's a way to say that. And, again, you don't, you know, your frustration is not projected at media. It's not projected at the fans or everything else. We get it because we all thought David Jones made an unwise decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was the other thing that I just found really strange over the break. People were trying to like defend and justify David Jones' decision. I mean, I think there's just no world where if that was my son, I would ever advise him to make that same decision. I would slap him upside his head. Again, unless he has some type of guarantee, which he may have. I don't know. I mean, it's possible that he got that. I mean, because to me, that's the only way it would make any business or financial or life sense. We're saying that David Jones don't want to could take a couple online classes. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah.
He'd rather not take an online class, make $800,000, right? Or, you know, maybe be on a bus and be going to Sioux Falls, making basically next to nothing and hoping one day he gets an injury 10-day or something. I mean, that seems like much more of a grind to me than taking a couple fake classes at Memphis.
What did it indicate to you that Gavone wrote that story about a guy who almost was surprised himself he got the combine invite? Does that not make it a little bit more legit in terms of what he did? Now, I'm not changing here what we saw at the combine. I think even Gavone wrote it was pretty unimpressive.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was doing it for a fringe guy, does that not suggest that there's some sort of traction somewhere? The fact that Gavone was weighing in on
a guy
who was at, you know, basically at the end of the invite
list. Well, you're talking about him breaking the news?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it was him that got it. I mean, I understand with a lot of those guys, he's going
agents,
to get them because the agents are up there. And maybe he was just doing a favor in this
case.
Right,
I don't know, yeah.
I didn't know if that seemed to suggest maybe there is some traction. Maybe Gavone is hearing that at least there's a summer league promise or something.
Is that worth leaving Memphis?
No, I'm not changing how I feel about the decision.
You'd get that next year, right? I mean, you'd get the same summer league invite next year. There's no, you know, it's not like there's like this big run on summer league spots.
You would think, I don't know. I mean, maybe not. Maybe that would next year's draft stronger. Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, there's so many guys, though, on those, you know, they come and go and all that. So, look, I don't know. I found the whole thing confounding, quite frankly, to have stayed in as long as he did with his performances that were, he came in way shorter than he was listed. He looked bad in every performance. And look, I'm not saying that David Jones is, the be all end all for college basketball here. Okay, it's just that Memphis built their team around having him back, and it's also just like another straight consecutive season of you have no returners. You have no, you know, unless you are you counting Musa, because he would technically be a returner.
No.
Okay. Well, he was here at least.
Yeah, but been to two schools.
I know he can maybe bring back that 2020 culture.
Well, they had pennies banking on it, but I guess from off the bench. Let y'all tell it.
I don't know. I mean, I think he's an elite bench big, less so as a starter.
Well, how many of these bigs are coming off the bench? Him and Tyreek Smith?
Yeah.
So only Dane is starting.
Yeah, I think that would be the idea. Because, Kobe Rogers committed to Memphis over Alabama and Kansas. Like, I just don't think he's coming off. I don't think he's intending to come off the bench, nor would I want him, really, to come off the bench. So you got Haggerty, you got Hunter, who came from Texas.
Yeah, and Kobe. Okay, about 4 or 5, though.
Right. So then you get, you know, Kaluma or Brazil, you play them at the 4, and then you have Dane. And then you bring Musa and Tyreek off the bench, and that's your front court rotation. And I think that's fine.
Well, you just added 2 more, yeah, that aren't here at this point.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm picking
Kaluma
one of them.
Brazil.
I love both, by the way. I mean, Kaluma is very transparent. He's going to the highest bidder he always has, which is great. I mean, it's a very cut-and-dry transaction. In Brazil, you know, 2 years ago, he was a projected lottery pick before he got hurt. So, you know, and then the Arkansas season last year was so damn dysfunctional. So it's hard to know, you know, how much of that, whose fault was that? I don't know.
Right.
But I was high on him 2 years ago as a freshman before he got hurt. So I'm in favor of both of those guys. So, look, here's the long and short of it. Understand why Penny feels a certain type of way when it as it relates specifically to David Jones, as it relates specifically to the scramble mode that he's been forced into once again. There's now, and I will say this for him. As you know, we've done this show for 7 years, 8 years, and pretty much every single time, Penny has made magic happen late, super late, in the recruiting, in the recruiting cycle. There's no reason to think he can't do that again, especially with the NIL that we know they have. The part that I don't have patience for is let's just not go through this back and forth year where, you know, Penny's going to remind us every single year that he doesn't have to every single time he doesn't have to do this job and that he doesn't get a fair shake and, you know, all these things. Because really, honestly, one win in 7 years, nobody wants to hear that.
That's if it this year. If he doesn't get any this year, it'll be 1-7.
Right, 1-6. One going into 7.
Yeah, that's why I'm not just okay with getting back to the tournament.
Right.
Like we've said, you got to get back to the tournament and win.
Yep.
And then you'd only be talking about 2 wins in 7 years, but still.
I mean, yeah, if you could at least sell, though, you know, all right.
Got it back. We lost our identity. Got it back, especially defensively. Exactly. We're back in the tournament. I know what, in terms of formula, what I need going forward in this new day and age.
Yes.
Right, of college athletics. That's what you say.
Yes. Also, another assistant coach gone since I was on paternity leave. Assistant Andy Borman, who was not expected to return.
Right. When to be determined who's going to replace him.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it's going to be Andre Turner.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting hire there for sure, what they decide to do in that spot at this stage in the game. You know, it is a different time in terms of, you know, what you need. You know, so
I mean, you know, you understand Penny, man. Asking about David Jones like asking you about your quarterback situation with the Raiders.
Yeah. But
you just don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it. It's depressing.
But don't take that out on us. I'll
give you the real, though, right? Because you deserve that as my
Again,
partner.
He's given, who is Wayne Turner and Andre Iguodala the real? Give us some of the real.
Yeah, but nobody watches that, okay? Nobody pays attention to that.
Point forward.
Yeah.
Sure they do.
Bro, everybody has a podcast. Whose podcast is this?
Dude,
Evan Turner?
Every time Penny speaks on one of these, we pay attention.
That's true, but...
And what did he say? He said he thinks about being an NBA coach daily. We tore it apart.
Is it daily?
Daily, he said.
I think the next time it's going to start to become more like maybe hourly.
Sound like he don't want to talk about being the Memphis coach.
Right.
Talk about being the NBA coach.
That man said daily, huh?
He said he thinks about daily.
Hey, I get
it. And whether it's in the next 5 years or 10 years,
He hopes it's on down the line. At least it was that horizon and not like, whether it's in the next 5 weeks or the next
especially
10
after this David Jones thing.
No doubt. And again, I think he's frustrated
with the nature of college basketball and the fact that he thought his guy was coming back.
But I will say, though, like, he, you know, the nature of college basketball has been good to him. I mean, he did reclassify Jalen Duren and Amani Bates thanks to NIL in July 2021. Like,
Was it last offseason he was frustrated because he said he didn't have enough NIL? Correct. We got another penny there that maybe we had some of the same. Then the NIL comes in.
Also at the golf course.
It was at the golf course. He was coming out of the pit, out of the sand pit.
He must have hit a bad shot.
He was angry, and he said, I hate this NIL. Said, I don't have enough.
He was in the sand bunker.
We noted it. He was in the bunker, yeah.
He's like, I don't have any NIL.
And he came out of there, and NIL appeared.
That was not
the new collective.
But see, that was not.
And we got Jaquan, we got Jordan, we got Quinterly.
That was not the Godfather that I heard there, though. That was definitely not him. That was like a, I'm about to step down as the boss. You know,
One of these days, Godfather gonna have to tell us about Malco telling us he's headed for the NBA. We got that announcement while John Martin was gone too. Malco's headed for the draft.
What the hell was that infograph about, John?
He just wanted to say thank you to Memphis.
That's okay.
I mean, I'm not sure.
I'm glad he did. You know,
sure
I was wondering what
the NBA draft piece of it, but, you know. Hey,
we still don't know.
It's good to have ambition.
You know, what happened with that academic advisor?
No, and we never will.
That's just buried.
That is buried.
In the river.
That is with cylinder blocks tied around its feet. All right. The person that needed to take the fall for that took the fall for that. And we are moving right along. All right. Yeah.
So, remnants.
So strange.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I should have thought about a David Jones Godfather sketch. That's what I really should have done. I haven't really.
Boy, because the feelings are still, they're so raw.
Yeah. Clearly. I don't think that would have been, that one's NSFW. I think Penny started talking in Spanish. I think he was just so upset, you know. Can you curse in Spanish? Okay. Can you can't do that in America?
Well, you mean on this station? Yeah. I don't think so. We should do that.
Back
no,
and
that's
he's pushing the limits.
Okay.
Already.
Yeah.
I enjoy this. This is what we missed.
Yeah, Penny gets the call. Pindale!
Do you believe they made it up the bid and everything and tried to the last
hour? Yeah. I don't really think so.
Hitman hoops.
I don't really. I mean, I'm sure that Memphis definitely attempted. You know, once they were blindsided, but I think the decision
makes it hurt even more.
It's kind of made clearly. I mean, I don't really know because it was not about money. Could not have been about money, like, unless he has a guarantee, which I have not seen. Nobody's told me, and nobody has reported. So
it's because it can't.
Yeah, like
because surely David will want that out there, right?
Yeah.
To justify his decisions.
He would have.
Or his agent, or somebody.
How about this? He would have at least told Penny. He would have at least said to him, hey, I got a guarantee.
Yeah.
I got to go. And then Penny would have been understanding of that, I think, as opposed to him.
I heard, Penny told folks bad advice.
Yeah, it was. Now, we thought Lester got bad advice, and at the time, he did, and it worked out. So could that happen with
David
Jones?
Well, he had to grind a little bit before it worked out.
He did. And he was not
coming
back.
He lost it
to what David
Jones
was getting.
Right.
You know, I've made the comparison to Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I saw that in your column.
Yeah, I think this could be a Le'Veon Bell deal where, bro,
you can't get this money back.
You won't. You won't make it up. I mean, you could play for, you know, you're already 23. You're going to be 23. You're not going to play forever. And you're not going to be high level forever. So let's say you have 8 years left at a super high level with your game. You know, I mean, are you going to make up that money, $800,000 over 8 years? I mean, that's tough. Even if you go to, like, the highest league, that's tough. And the way he defends, I don't know. It's just going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out for David. I don't think Memphis, by the way, from the team's perspective, like, if they wind up with a Kaluma or a Brazil or whoever it may be, somebody like that, I'm not sitting here saying that this is the end or doom and gloom at all. David Jones was a minus defender. You know, he was a great scorer last year, but he was a minus defender. My point is you can overcome it with a good player. It's not the end of the world if you do that. But the timing is definitely not ideal is the problem. If you knew he was going to stay in April, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You would have approached this an entirely different way and you would have built this team maybe an entirely different way. And I think that's probably the part that Penny's miffed about, which rightfully so. But that's not your fault. That's not my fault. That's not the fans' fault, right? That's just the way it is, you know. And so, what do you do now? But I thought it was a super interesting press conference. Pretty revealing. certainly for Penny, as we enter a critical year for him and Memphis basketball. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Two words. Caitlin Clark.
I know you're triggered.
Caitlin Clark.
What they're doing.
Is it me that's triggered or is it the rest of the world? I don't know. I think it's pretty damn
You're going to surprise me then.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody just kick back, relax, and just let the cake bake. At the end of the day got to end. We'll come back. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN.
NBA playoffs full steam ahead. As you know, it's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures. Maybe you want to fade Brad Carson. That'll be back once these finals start. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than on America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/JSmith to get started. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSmith with new customers getting $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. It's only on FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Let me handle this one, Jason. We're back. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN. I mean, I don't know how many hours you did, who was counting, but...
72.
Okay, just 72 hours. That's just 3 days, bro. That's just 3 days of shows. That's all.
No, it was 24 shows.
Okay, 24 shows. And how many returns would that have been? 72 returns.
Lots.
That's a lot. I'm here to help. I'm here to take the load off, man.
Let me sit back a little bit.
This is a...
feels good.
Yeah, man.
Feels
real good. Look, just whenever you're ready to sort of contribute, we would certainly be happy to have you in.
Well, I had to come in a little bit because you say I'm Penny saying it's over pretty much. I had to come in and bounce out a little bit.
He just sounds, a little sad.
He did. He sounds a little sad. He sounds frustrated by David Jones's absence.
Yeah, and listen... We can talk about David Jones' absence. Or we can talk
departure.
About the future. You know, we can talk
about. Well, that's what it's got to be about right now, John.
My guy over at Hitman Hoops reported during that segment. Hitman. When I say Hitman,
very important. Yeah,
Hitmen. But it's just one man.
But
so
he
it's
suggests
like, right.
He's part of a group.
Right, but
I want to make sure we get
he's
it right.
He's one man.
We probably should have proper
the person
for
I deal with is one
point.
Man.
But I call him Hitman because that's what
bad.
He is.
I think my advice to him would be to just change to Hitman Hoops, but he's not asking me for advice. Hitman Hoops is reporting that Memphis is viewed as the early favorite for Arthur Kaluma. He went to Kansas State last year. Year before that, he was at Creighton. He is a 6'7", 225-pound wing slash, you can play him at the four certainly for sure in spots. But 14.4 a game, 7 rebounds a game, 35% three-point shooting. I mean, just an athlete, just a guy that can slash, do all the things that you need a modern wing to do. That's him. He's definitely the replacement for David Jones. He's different. He's different. A lot more physical, just more athletic, bigger. Probably not the sheer every-level scorer as consistently as David Jones, but I'd say probably an upgrade defensively. And again, I think what he has going for him over what David Jones had coming in is that he's played for two really good coaches. He played for Greg McDermott at Creighton, and he played for Jerome Tang last year at Kansas State. So, yeah. He's not coming. Kansas State had an underwhelming year last year. And there were a variety of reasons for that. I don't think it was a particularly well-built team. And they lost a lot from the year before that, but Creighton was in the Elite Eight with Kaluma 2 years ago. So this is not some guy that's been just jacking up shots for, no offense, DePaul and St. John's. And I'm not even, trying to do the whole, the player leaves and you crap on him type of thing. That's just what it was. David Jones wasn't, he played for DePaul and St. John's. it was very different than the production that I think you would get from Kaluma. So, I'm a fan of it. Probably not the sheer, scorer that David Jones is, but I think does bring a little bit more overall to the table. And, he'll put up David Jones-type numbers in the AAC. He just will.
Not 21.
Maybe not 21. Yeah,
because, your team's going to be a little more balanced.
Yeah, I think he could if he wanted to, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, last year, clearly, there was not another option. But I do think, if Kaluma, how about this? Take David Jones off last year's team, put Kaluma on there, he would have had the same numbers. Basically.
My question is, all those players that Penny recruited, they all expecting David Jones to be back in the way that Penny Hardaway was expecting David Jones to be back, then they should expect a player to be added to the fold
sure.
that could come in and be the 1A.
Absolutely. I think so. I mean, that's
because again, they're
that's logical.
You know, Penny had gone around publicly saying yeah. we're going to get, you know, we're 70-30 David Jones and expecting him. My point would be
totally.
That,
this is not going to come as some shock to
these
guys.
It's not a shock to the seven that are in there now, the
yeah.
transfer portal, which I guess is what's top 15 ranked, top 10, top 11 ranked.
Yep.
You know, would not be a shock to them that you were bringing in somebody that could potentially be the 1A. That's how you're looking at him. So
100%.
because I bring that up because fit is so important at this point. You know, again, that these guys are not thinking, okay, now I'm 1A. You know, yeah, David Jones not coming back. So,
yep.
So whether it's Tyrese Hunter or P.J. Haggerty or Colby Rogers, saying, if they understand that, well, there was already going to be a guy like that's 1A, and you were sort of playing behind that already, then maybe that's the way you get there. You
correct.
Know what I'm saying? On fit, because,
correct.
Again, fit becomes the most important thing.
Yes.
I like that defensively, he's an upgrade.
Yes. Now, how much of one? I don't know. I'm not saying he's some lockdown defender, but honestly,
well, I'm just saying anybody. David was a minus.
Yes, he was. I don't think Kalum was a minus.
If we're average,
exactly, and I think that's all you're looking for here. I mean, you're bringing in defense. You would think with you know the ability to be able to put Moose out there. It's you know I don't know what the plan is necessarily. I mean, I think Dane wants to start. I think that's kind of the.
Yeah, and he does not play away from the basket.
That's the hang-up. I think, the way that I, again, if
I'd love to be big with a 4-5, but it just doesn't look like it's set up that way.
No, it's not.
Dane doesn't play at the
no.
at the 15-foot mark.
Yep.
He plays underneath the basket.
And he's expecting.
Moussa doesn't do that.
Right. You know, you'd have no shooting. They would just crowd the lane on you.
So you're going to have all those guys behind Dane at the 5.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Because, I mean, Dane is definitely coming here expecting to.
And you would play Tyrese, PJ, Colby,
Kalum at the 4, you know, yeah.
There's your starting 5.
Yeah, and again, that's a lineup that, pending, but that's a lineup that, you know, I think would certainly be good enough in the AAC. I don't know what they'll look like out of conference. I think that's the part of it that you're, you know, unsure about. But I mean, Memphis crushed non-conference last year, so if they can do it with that group, they could certainly probably do it with this one. They're a little less talented, I guess I would say, than last year, but not by some big, great, wide margin. You know, I mean, Colby is a dude that's, you know, shot really well. You know, Tyrese Hunter's coming from Power 5. You know, Dane's coming from Power 5. So maybe they're not even less talented. Maybe it's pretty similar.
I'm just, you know this. You knew that before you went out of here, but I'm less concerned with what they look like offensively in terms of firepower than I am getting the identity back defensively. Like, that's where the huge fall off was last year. And the importance of, if you take one piece out of it, last year was Caleb Mills, that your entire defense doesn't fall apart. Like, you've got to have more than one guy bought in on that end. So just as important to me, you know, if not more so, the fit offensively is what this looks like defensively when you put it all together. And that's where you can argue, you know, how much was a David Jones going to help you?
Yes, yes. And there's no doubt.
I mean, fell into the hundreds last year in
defense. Yeah, that was unacceptable. Just,
that's part of the reason
there's
why
really
you
no way to win.
Why you ended up where you were.
Yes.
You couldn't stop anything.
I would rather have a mediocre offense.
That's what I'm saying.
If
you come down a little bit offensively, I don't mind at all, so yeah. long as you're getting back to what yeah. we recognize around here. That's been, I mean, it's been the Penny Hardaway way. I mean, that's the one thing he could hang his hat on the first 5 years, you know, and it went all to hell last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get that back.
Because honestly, any player can make, you know, 4 out of 5 shots in any given stretch. I mean, you can get hot from 3, you know. You can't get hot defensively if you're a bad defensive team. It's just
and
who
that's
you are.
You tell me the small ball lineups that have been great for him defensively. That's what I'm saying. I mean, back when you had Moussa here, wasn't it more of a traditional deal where you had two bigs out there? Whether it was, what,
DeAndre.
I guess DeAndre
yeah.
back then?
Yeah, DeAndre.
I mean, it's more of a – and that's why I keep looking at that 4-5 deal and thinking, okay,
yeah.
well, I mean, Kaluma's what, 7 rebounds?
Yeah,
I get it. You can put him there, but – you know, is that going to give me my best lineup defensively? How do I get Tyreek and Moussa out there to help? That's what I'm curious about. Is how
I would give Kalum a shot. 7 rebounds in the Big 12 is pretty damn good,
no, it's
right?
Legit,
yeah,
legit.
So,
I mean,
could he be DeAndre Williams just for you in that way? Like, DeAndre wasn't a super big guy. And so I'll give it a shot. I see what you're saying, but I'd at least maybe give it a shot and feel like, okay, we got to.
Oh, absolutely.
We got to look here.
I mean, you know? It looks like the way they're building this team, to be honest with you. I'm just wondering how it's going to look defensively.
Because I don't know if I want to start Musa, because then I just don't think he brings enough to the table offensively to be credible.
Well, I'm saying, well, then when do you play? Because you're not playing him at the end of games because of the inability to make free throws.
Correct.
So, somewhere in the middle that
like
you're playing him as a 14
minute mark, you know, to your 8 minute mark.
That's where he's going to have to be.
You know, both halves. And look,
and I'm not suggesting you have to start Musa. There's ways to do this. Maybe your best lineup's going to be with Kalum at the four.
Exactly.
I'm just curious what's going to be their best way to deploy those guys defensively, these defensive weapons that you've got. You know, how much time are they getting there? Tyreek Smith came off the bench at SMU. He's going to do the same thing here.
Right.
How you going to get him and Musa both off the bench? And then,
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I see you got the rotation all figured out over there.
That would be the way I do it, you know. Yeah, Kalum is the most important piece of this now, because then you can just say, all right, no different, no change, basically, right? I mean, this is the same skill set that we had with David.
Yeah, but you were ass last year defensively.
Yes.
Playing that way. You said small ball lineups, and Giannotto's talked about this too. Yeah, it was good offensively for you.
Yes.
Didn't do much defensively at all for you. That's what I'm concerned about.
Who was – well, because it changed, right? Like –
once Caleb kind of went down.
Caleb left.
You figured out that small ball was.
You added Tomlin, which kind of threw the whole.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like you never really kind of got a good feel for, you know, what the best defensive unit was. You know, Jordan Brown was an absolute mess. He couldn't stay on the court. So who was it really? What were they running out there? I'm trying to even think.
I mean, again, you had times where you had two bigs out there. It was Malco and Naquan, whether it was Naquan and Jordan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there were times out there where you ran two bigs, but defensively, when you got David Jones at the four, you were taking a hit.
Oh, that could not happen. I mean, they were going to have to figure that out. I don't think. How can you play David Jones at the four?
I'm just saying defensively you were taking a hit.
Yeah.
I don't know what would have happened. You bring him back and how this looked then.
That would have been the piece that I think maybe in some ways, you know, makes it a little easier. But because I don't know how they would have rectified that. Dude was 6'3". He got measured. I mean, you can't.
I mean, he still led your team in rebounding.
That is
crazily enough.
I mean, the AC sucks. It's going to be even worse next year, right? I mean, FAU is going back to whatever the hell it's supposed to be. So, look, I'm all about it. He's 22 years old. He's played for two good coaches, you know. And you have he does exactly what you're missing right now, which is come in, bring you some big time punch from a scoring perspective, some athleticism, appreciate about Art is that he's been very transparent about what he's after, which is the bag, and so that's what you have, and so you could just slide it on over, dog. It ain't got to be this big time recruiting job. Yay, come to Memphis. Look, bro, Federal Express. All right, priority. Okay, it's just that simple.
And then Penny can feel a little bit better.
Yeah, and he should. I mean, he sounded so sad today. Like, dude, I honestly, I think it's because he was clearly, like, made to, in his eyes, look like a fool, which I don't know about you guys. Like, I don't – when Penny predicts something, I mean, it's not it's like the tabloid saying that aliens have come to Earth. Like, I see it and I hear it, but I'm like, okay, you know, you do this every year. You ain't got to worry about that, Penny. You ain't got to worry about – are you judging him for it? I ain't judging him for it.
The 70-30?
Yeah.
No, because I think in this case we all thought that was the best way for David Jones to go.
He's an optimistic man. That's perfectly, you know, when it comes to things like that, he's an optimistic guy. And he always believes the best in people, wants to see the best in people.
The way he did, you know, what he said to Drew Hill up at the Combine, that's when we started around here going, hold on now.
David Jones?
Yes.
What was it like?
Not going to be about the money.
Right.
If I get any kind of sniff, I'm out of here. That was sort of the tone. It was different than certainly what he had put out there on the Instagram Live when he was letting Tigers fans, man, come begging him to come back, basically. And then the podcast down the DR.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about how great a situation it was and everything else.
Yeah.
Tone was different, bro.
It was.
Drew went up there and got that.
Yeah, and look, maybe his decision was made then. But I think that's probably the piece. Again, we don't know because Penny didn't say it. But my guess is he feels like he was sort of used here, like just as like the back door plan. That if whatever didn't go the right way, okay, we'll just keep Memphis, we'll keep them hanging around. And if you know we don't, I don't know what the hell they're doing. I really don't. I don't know. I haven't heard from any of my people in the industry about a guarantee or about any kind of buzz or about any kind of, you know, yada, yada. So I don't know what their plan is. I don't know what their intention is. But they clearly were, you know, slow playing Memphis.